Turn with me in your Bible to Zephaniah tonight. You want to talk about the day of the Lord. One of the great themes of the book of Zephaniah is that phrase, the day of the Lord. I want to look at some verses in Zephaniah that talk about the day of the Lord. And this is a very important truth that we need to understand in the Bible. What is the day of the Lord? What does it encompass? When it is coming, etc. Zephaniah chapter 1, it says in verse 8, "And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice." In the day of the Lord's sacrifice, "that I will punish the priests and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel." It's interesting here in this verse. It reminds us of the fact that in Revelation 19, God will gather all the nations of the world around Jerusalem. And he will gather them for the sacrifice of the Lord. I was talking about that here in this verse. Chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "The great day of the Lord is near. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers." It's the day of the Lord. Verse 18, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." Chapter 2, verse 2, before the decree bring forth, before the day passes a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Many verses in the Word of God about the day of the Lord. We find them, especially in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Zechariah, Malachi. One of the great themes of the Word of God is the day of the Lord. Now, there's so many things that we could say about that. But in God's timetable, the day of the Lord is near. Now, when does, we have to ask some questions. When does the day of the Lord, when is the day of the Lord? We'll look at some verses, but the day of the Lord specifically is the day in which Christ returns, Revelation 19, and destroys all the armies of the enemies who are ready to destroy Jerusalem and the Jews. That is the specific day of the Lord. The Bible talks about many different places. But the day of the Lord is also pictured in other major historical judgments. And other historical events are used as a partial fulfillment of the day of the Lord. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 2, In Acts chapter 2, we find that that Peter says the day of Pentecost was a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, talking about the day of the Lord. And so Acts chapter 2, see verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. Now, if we go to Isaiah chapter 61, and we probably are just going to hit the general outline of this. But in Isaiah 61, it tells us that Christ was going to come, and he was the anointed one. And verse 2, it says, and he will come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, the day of vengeance of our God. The day of the Lord is specifically the day of vengeance of our God, a day of judgment upon those who, a universal judgment upon this earth for those who have disobeyed the Lord. But it tells us that that day is followed by great glory. And it says in verse 3, it's to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste city, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your wine dressers. And so the day of the Lord, now in this context, is not only referring to specifically the day of vengeance of our God, but it's referring to that period of time that is included or immediately follows that, which would be the millennium. The millennium is included in the day of the Lord. Now, if we would go a little bit further, we can go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and maybe, hopefully, this is a good time to remind you that that little outline that we studied in Sunday school is so important to have in your mind, so that when these things of prophecy are studied, you're not lost in a cloud of confusion, okay? But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, whereby the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So now we see that the day of the Lord goes all the way through the millennium to the battle of Gog and Magog, where those who were born in the millennium never got saved, lived as fakes, fake believers, and then when Satan is loosed, rise up in rebellion against Christ, and Christ destroys all those people, and Satan is cast into the lake of fire, and at that point there will be a new heaven. The old heavens will melt with a fervent heat, and God will make a new heavens and a new earth. And so we see that the day of the Lord is, yes, a day of judgment, a day of vengeance of our God. And it can speak of specifically any one of those events, but it is specifically points to one event, but includes a whole period of time. Okay, so the day of the Lord can refer to a specific event, historical event, that is a time of judgment. It took place when God judged Assyria. It's called the day of the Lord. And it was a day of God's judgment. It was a precursor, and you might say a partial fulfillment, of the day of the Lord that is coming. So let's go look at a couple places. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Says, verse 1, it says, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But notice, it says, but unto you that fear my name shall be the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Notice verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so here we find tribulation setting. Elijah, one of the two witnesses in Revelation, will come, and he will come to turn the hearts of the people of Israel to God. And it says that he would send Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a great and dreadful day. And is speaking in this case specifically of that event in Revelation 19, Zechariah chapter 14, in which all the armies of the world are gathered against Israel and against Jerusalem. And God is gathering all these people, these heathen, these lost people, in rebellion against God. It's going to be the sacrifice of our God. And it will be a day of vengeance, a day of judgment on this wicked, wicked world and wicked men who are in rebellion against God. And it tells us that in Malachi, that Elijah would be sent, the prophet of God would be sent to turn the people of Israel back to God. And of course, we know that this was fulfilled in spirit with John the Baptist. And the Lord said that they said to him, how come that Elijah was going to come? And he says, Elijah has come. And so we see that prophetic events in the Bible, they have a specific fulfillment, but there are events that are types of that day of the Lord, would be called minor or precursor fulfillments of that great prophecy. But the day of the Lord is a day of universal judgment. The day of the Lord is a day of universal judgment. It's spoken of throughout the scriptures. Now, if you would, let's see, where do we want to go from here? If you go to Luke chapter 4, we're backtracking a little bit. When Jesus came in Luke chapter 4, he went to the synagogue, verse 16, where his custom was, where he's brought up. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him, verse 17, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's Isaiah 61, verse 1. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? Now, what did he do? He stopped in the middle of verse number 2, where it says that the Lord was going to come and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Well, there's a difference between his first coming and his second coming. In his first coming, comes the year, it's the acceptable year of the Lord. He came to die. He came to give his life. He came to rescue mankind from their sin by being the ultimate sacrifice for man's sin. But he is coming again. And in his second coming, he is coming in the day of the vengeance of our God. I think what the emphasis that we need to understand is that in God's plan, the day of the Lord draweth nigh. It's not some remote thing that's made up. It's the center of God's plan, the next event in the plan of God. Now, the day of the Lord, again, is the specific day, specifically of the day that Zechariah talks about. Let's go to Zechariah 14 for a minute, and I'll try to finish my sentence after we go to Zechariah 14. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Behold, The day of the Lord cometh. Verse 2, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, etc. Israel just proclaimed that they are, by law, now the Jewish state of Israel. Do you hear that news this week? They declared that they are the Jewish state of Israel. And, of course, President Trump declared not too long ago that Jerusalem was the eternal capital of Jerusalem. It's amazing when you just see how these events are unfolding and you just begin to see how it all it fits into the tribulation period and God's plan for Israel, what's going to happen. But behold, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Now, that's just not some unknown statement. It's a great theme of the Bible. The day of the Lord, the day of God's universal judgment, the day of vengeance of our God. And you understand the scripture, we say, wow. In the day in which the world is denying a God who judges sin, that day is surely drawing nigh. Now, the day of the day of the Lord has, it speaks of the specific day, and it speaks of that events in the Bible that picture this day, but it is an event that is also a period of time that includes, that starts with the rapture. Okay? So we'll look at a couple verses. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, if you notice, we'll go there in a minute. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together with him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ. And now, what are they, what is this phrase? The day of Christ is at hand. And it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God. Now, We see very interesting the day of the Lord, and in the Bible, that's LORD capitals, Jehovah God. Who? What is that talking about? Jesus, isn't it? Jesus, who is returning on that day? Jesus, who is going to judge the world, execute vengeance of our God. It's Jesus. How could it be missed? The day of the Lord. It's interesting here, it's called the day of Christ. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24. We see what it's saying. It says in verse 3, "And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us what shall be these things, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world." Okay, the coming, the second coming of Christ in glory. That is the day of the Lord. And verse 7, "For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and divers places. These are the beginning of sorrows. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall destroy many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And as we read this passage of Scripture, he says, verse 15, "When he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place." And let's just keep going here. Verse 25, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore it shall, if they shall say in it, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." And then it says, verse 28, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall give her light." Now we go to Joel 2 here, isn't it? "The stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall be appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the man, Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." The day of the Lord is a day of universal judgment. It is the day of vengeance of our God. It is the day of Christ's return in power and in glory. And that is the great event that is ahead of this world. And all of those events start taking place when the rapture takes place. When the rapture takes place, now begins the period of judgment of our God upon this earth that will culminate with the coming of Jesus Christ. And so the day of the Lord is a great theme of the book of Zephaniah. It is reminding the people of Israel that God will judge. That God will judge. Now, you know what? God is going to judge. There will be the day of the Lord. And you know, it could be very soon. But you know, that also means that God can judge at any other time. God can judge at any other time that He chooses. We have a God of judgment. And we can easily distort who our God is and think of Him as something other than who He is. He is the God of judgment. Now, He is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness. God is a God of judgment. Now, it seems that as you look at world events, as you look at the world today, it would seem that there is not going to be some major judgment before the day of the Lord comes. But we don't know that the Lord, day of the Lord is going to come real close. It sure seems like it, doesn't it? But we live in a day that the message of the prophets needs to be spoken. Because the people of Israel didn't think that God would judge. And that is the spirit of the hour in which we live, isn't it? God does not judge. God will not judge. We looked last week in Zephaniah how it says that he would judge those who are settled upon their lees, who are unaffected, who are indifferent, apathetic, and going on in their sinful lifestyle as though God would not judge. But we're just taking these moments tonight to remind us that in God's plan, all of history is now looking forward to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is a day of universal judgment of this world for its rebellion against God, its rejection of God's laws, its refusal to bow to the knee, their knee to Jesus Christ. And all the events of the world are unfolding today to that next event, the day of the Lord. And what I think is, I mentioned it, is the day of the Lord, that Lord is Jesus. That Lord is Jesus. That L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, Lord, is Jesus. It is Jesus who will set his feet on the Mount of Olives. It is Jesus who will come with his armies from heaven. It is Jesus that will defeat them with the sword of his mouth. It is so important for us to have these this thinking in our mind today, because we are living in a world that is in denial of a God of righteousness who is coming to judge. And we would be foolish, we would be very foolish to think that the attitude of the world doesn't affect us. Because I know it does. I know it affects me. And I think of the fact that when I was at the University of Wisconsin, I was saved in my dormitory room October 31st, 1968. I got on my knees and I received Jesus as the Savior of my sins. And I surrendered my life to the Lord, to be the Lord of my life. And he saved me. And I was on that university campus. And I was on that university campus for 3 semesters. Now, you have to understand, those were the days of rebellion. That was 1968. And while I was in chemistry class, the hippies, the rebels, and they were just sinners looking for a cause to live wickedly. You know, I have no respect for those revolutionaries. They lived in adultery and fornication, and they were on pot, and they were drunks, and they used all these political things as an excuse to live a rotten life and to protest, and I really didn't have any respect for them. But it was the hour of rebellion. And you know, so here am I, a young man coming to Christ, and my friends were in the union, and their goal was to see how many cans of beer they could drink and then make a little pyramid. I went to the university, and God, before I was saved, I told the Lord, I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to smoke. That's just a foolish way to live. And so God is working in my life, and all these people are doing all these things. And I thought, boy, I'm really different than this place. I'm really different. Well, you know what? January of 1970, I went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College. And I wasn't long on that campus at Maranatha, and I says, wow. I thought that the university wasn't affecting me. And I says, wow, it was really affecting my thinking. I can't believe how much it was affecting my thinking. I had to get away from it, and I had to get in the Word of God in order to realize how much I was affected by the atmosphere in which I was living. Remember that Lot, in seeing and hearing all the wicked deeds of Sodom, vexed his righteous soul. It means that word is he wore down his righteous soul. And we're in this world, and we're surrounded by people who have and a world that everything it says is God doesn't judge sin. That's right. The news media, mainstream news media, they're scoffers. Gay pride parades are scoffers. The immodesty of the hour, it's a mocking of God. God doesn't judge. Our whole society is based on the idea that God doesn't judge sin. And you know, because of it, we don't have too much fear. We don't have as much fear of the Lord as we ought to. You know what? We might, we'll see something, and it's like, no problem. Really? We ought to be disgusted. We ought to be revolted by it. But we live in this day in which God doesn't judge sin. But we go to the Bible, we recognize that the next event that is soon going to, the process is soon going to take place, it could be tonight that the rapture takes place and the wrath of God begins to be poured out on this earth. And that day of the Lord itself would be only 7 years away, in which there will be a universal judgment on this whole world. Wow. According to the Bible, we ought to be thinking differently. Amen. According to the Bible, we ought to be thinking a lot differently than this world. And maybe there's someone here tonight, you'd be honest and you say, oh, I don't have much fear of God. I'm fine. You know, the most irritating phrase, I know what people mean. I'm good. Oh, that's so irritating. You're not good. No one's good. The Lord's coming back. Amen. instead of being swept away by the attitudes of the world, mocking righteousness, we ought to say, Lord, I need to prepare for your coming. Revelation 19, it said, the bride prepared herself for the coming of the Lord. By what? By arraying herself. Now, I realize what it's saying, but it says her garments are the righteousness of the saints. And I realize it's probably talking about positional righteousness. But you know, I've come to understand that the Bible usually has a lot more to say than we understand. And the message is, as the Lord comes back, we ought to be seeking to be more righteous. And more godly, and have more fear of the Lord. For certainly, the day is fast approaching. And it would be a shame in all of our lives, and mine included, that we would have a diminished view of righteousness because we're allowing the world to dull and darken our mind as to how holy God is and how He is the God of judgment. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for reminding us of that great truth that the prophets continually reminded Israel about, the day of the Lord. And we fear that we're much like Israel today in the apostate decline of Christianity in the end of its days. Doubtful, questioning, careless, and even mocking righteousness. Whereas the prophet continued to remind Israel in all its stages of the coming of the day of the Lord. And Lord, we know it's not popular. It is not popular at all. And we know it's certainly not popular in the world. And yet we recognize that in the churches that it's certainly not popular either, as it ought to be, not well received. But Lord, help us to have a biblical perspective and have the fear of the Lord. And realize that you're a God that brings about the day of the Lord, and it will soon be the day of judgment upon a wicked world. And I pray that, Lord, that those that are here tonight that are not saved, that have been lulled to sleep by just professional Christianity, and have really come to no alarm about their soul and their sin, I pray that's your Spirit would have opportunity tonight, convict them, and for them to see the darkness of their heart. And Lord, help us not to be like Lot, who seeing, Lord, and observing and being around wickedness, saw his soul wore down, and so saw his morals worn down, and his values, and his perspectives. Lord, help us to be a people that are separate from the world and all that we can be, so that, Lord, that we will be ready to see you and we'll not be ashamed at your coming. Lord, may it be so. While heads are bowed and eyes closed, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. Maybe as a believer, the Lord is just prodding at your soul to be careful of the spirit of the age, prodding your soul to those things that maybe you've let down your guard about, and for you to put up your guard again and to make that distance between you and the world, that you might not lose the fear of the Lord and lose the preparation that you need to meet Him properly. And say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke in my heart today, tonight. And there's an important decision in my life. Maybe this would be the night to turning for you from following the compromise of the hour to being sold out for Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke in my heart. Tonight is that night. I'm getting ready for the day of the Lord. I'm turning my life around to, in repentance, to serve Him and obey Him and live righteously. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you about that, maybe in a other way. But you say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke in my heart tonight. Anyone here? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. Yes. Anyone else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Oh, the spirit of coldness that lacks the sense of the judgment of God has taken over your soul. You've been alerted tonight to say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to understand that our God is a righteous God and He judges sin. And I need to have that spirit within my soul. Anyone else? When God's spoken to your heart. Amen. Lord, now thank you for the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that in your mercy, thank you that we're still in the day of long suffering. Thank you, Lord, that you have not judged us where we ought to be judged. And, but Lord, that you give us room for repentance and to get serious about denying the flesh and making no room for the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And Lord, so help us to allow the Word of God to affect us, maybe where we go, the things that we see on our computer, the music we listen to, the friends that we have. Might, Lord, we call sin, sin. And Lord, because you're a holy God, bless your people, decisions made in Jesus' name. Amen.